Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Louise.
So, I'm going to start the show on a bit of a strange note by asking you, what's not happening with you?
Well, there's lots not happening with me. Thank you for asking. In fact, in this show, where we love to talk about upcoming arts events, we are going to talk about upcoming arts events that aren't happening.
Yeah, not happening.
Not happening.
Yeah. So where should we start? Let's see. Today is
Wednesday.
June 11th. It's a glorious Shuswap day. That sky, that blue sky that we love so much, and we love it when we're down at the wharf. What are we doing at the wharf?
Well, if it's Wednesday and we're talking about the wharf, then we're talking about Wednesday on the wharf, which is so exciting.
So
because
exciting.
A wonderful outdoor live music event that encourages families with all ages of peoples to come down and move their bodies, or not move their bodies. They can just sit and listen.
Yeah, but sit and listen.
It's an experience to be on the shores of our beautiful lake and listen to the sounds coming out of whoever is playing at the gazebo.
Yes.
And
6:45, Marine Peace Park. Don't go there.
Don't go.
No, you know why?
It's canceled.
It's not happening.
Another not happening in the air.
It's so sad. I really feel... So today would have been typically the jazz or the Shuswap. Jackson Arm Secondary.
Yeah, the Jackson Jazz Bands actually were scheduled to play the very first inaugural Wednesday on the Wharf, which is a tradition. I think in all the 21 years of Wednesday on the Wharf, there was only one year that the schools didn't kick off the whole concert series. So this is something that is dear to our hearts.
Yes.
And some of the music teachers, Brian PJ among them, have been so dedicated to get these kids to, you know, all rehearsed and ready for this amazing event where they get to present to their whole community, right?
Yes.
Not just the parents who come to the school concerts, but the whole community.
The whole, it must be like, it's their Carnegie Hall moment.
It is.
And it's not happening.
Not happening.
No, I feel so bad.
So this is not happening because of the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
And the provincial government has locked out teachers, and this is part of the rotating job action situation.
Not because they don't want to, because they're not allowed.
That's right.
Right.
And
so
that's an important distinction.
Yeah. So today we thought we'd talk about, you know, Artscape is all about what's happening in the arts world. Well, because of this situation, there's a lot of things that aren't happening. So Tracy and I both felt it was important to make a point of sharing all the things that aren't happening in the Shuswap.
It's also important to recognize how much of a ripple effect anything happening within the school district has on the entire community.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
so important.
For people out there who don't have children in the school system right now, they might think they're not affected by this, but it is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
The impact that the school district has, the teachers and the students has on the arts community especially,
yes,
is enormous.
Yes, and then the ripple effect on the economy. So there will not be 1,000 people at the wharf tonight,
mm-hmm,
who will not bring their picnic baskets, who will not stop at Askew's to get a bite to eat, who will not buy ice cream, right?
Yeah.
That's who will not go for a walk downtown, who will not stop in for dinner before.
Yeah.
Right? And this, a lot of families, little wee tiny kids who aren't even in school yet, love to go and see the other kids and dance and, mm-hmm, run and play. That's not happening.
Not happening.
No. And so, and it's not the only thing not happening this week in the arts. And, you know, yes, there is a sarcastic tone to this message, and there are a lot of people impacted by this, but sometimes you just have to say what you need to say and make it very clear that there's a huge ripple effect. This isn't just about teachers. It's about all of us,
mm-hmm,
educators, parents, students,
yeah,
school districts, everybody, local businesses, local government representatives. We all have to work hard to find solutions to this. And part of finding a solution is pointing out exactly what the overall impact is.
Right. So our next event that's not happening in the arts is actually only partially not happening. And that is the high school students' participation in the Ross Street Stage Mosaic Project.
That's right.
It was a very exciting start. Glenn Anderson came from Vancouver and taught us all.
He's so talented.
Yeah,
oh,
he's amazing.
Yeah.
So he taught us all to do this. He spent 5 solid days getting us all ready and prepped and started the project. And Chris Schilke brought his high school students down to help. Of course, there was only one day of job action last week that we had that we didn't have kids for. But other than that, they've been there, and we've had several keeners that are just,
sure,
they're
so,
started, and they've learned it, and
yes,
now they're anxious to keep going because,
yes,
it's a long-term project, right? This is something that's going to take probably 2, maybe even 3 more weeks.
Mm-hmm. And probably, I mean, dozens of people learned how to do mosaic tile work last week. Yeah. What a gift that is, yeah. You know?
So, unfortunately, this week, no.
No. No. So, there will not be buses full of high school students working on public art projects.
No.
No.
Not happening. So, what happened yesterday was Chris Schilke told me that they're looking at having to cram 2 weeks of year-end work into 2 days.
Yes.
On the possibility mm-hmm. that there will be a full-out strike.
Yeah.
And so, he's sorry, but he can't bring the kids to work on it.
It's just devastating, you know, and these the long-term repercussions again, you know, the gallery, how many years did we plan for that mosaic?
Oh my gosh. The mosaic has been planned for 5 years. The idea came 5 years ago after the stage was built and people kept saying to me, aren't you going to do something about that wall?
Can we do something about the wall?
So we've talked about it and thought about it and ideas came and went. And when we finally decided on the mosaic, that was about 3 years ago. And I've been working slowly on bits of fundraising here and there and planning, long-term planning on who was going to be involved and what it would look like and what it would represent. And I mean, for a mosaic that's going to be there for, you know, as long as the walls there. Mm-hmm. We're talking potentially hundreds of years. I know.
Yeah.
You really want to think these things out, right?
That's right.
So yes, 5 years in the planning, 3 years in the fundraising, and here we are all in the month of June.
Ready to go.
Ready
tile
to go.
Is there.
It
Artist
was,
is ready.
I know.
Everything
and it was designed.
Sorted.
The timing was designed to utilize high school kids in their final weeks of school. Mm-hmm. Well, we tried to make it so that it wasn't interfering too much with grads. So we tried to go, you know, those first 2 weeks in June. And yeah, it's mucked up. Mm. It's all mucked up because of this job action.
Now, members of the public are invited.
Absolutely.
To come and help in the next few days. We have a lot of work to do.
We still have a lot of work to do. We think about 40% done.
Okay.
As of today, which is Wednesday. And when this show rebroadcasts, we'll still be working on it.
Yes.
So Wednesday, we're doing an afternoon event, 12 to 4. And then Thursday, we're there 9 till 9.
Yes, 9 a.m.
That's
to 9 p.m.
Big, long marathon.
Yes.
Friday, we're going to be there 9 to 5 and Saturday, 9 to 5. Now, here's another thing that people should know is if you're interested in learning how to do this and coming to help, for Saterday morning, right at 9:15, somewhere in there, I'll be doing a little training session that'll really be very clear about how to do mosaics. Because sometimes where people are showing up and they want to help, but they don't have a lot of time mm-hmm. to give us. And it takes a good 15, 20 minutes to kind of be taught one-on-one how to do it.
Yes.
But if somebody's only on their lunch break, it's hard to. It is. So if you want to give your Saturday or you know, a few hours on your Saturday, come early in the morning. We'll teach you how to do it, and then we'll still be working on it early next week as well.
Okay.
So like June 16th, 17th, 18th, somewhere in there. We'll still be finishing this thing off. This is crazy huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so beautiful.
It is
so
going to be beautiful.
Partially happening, but it's not the project that it was designed to be because the students can't be there.
Yeah.
So let's see. What else isn't happening? Next Friday night at Shuswap Middle School at, I think, 7 p.m., don't go.
The grade 8 dance?
I think the concert.
Oh, the concert. Yeah. Oh, well, this Thursday.
I thought it was.
For the middle school jazz band. I mean, my daughter plays the saxophone in the jazz band. She has been working hard mm-hmm. and has been taking lessons and really going for this, right? Like, this is their end goal is the concert where they present to the parents and go, look what I did.
Yes.
Not happening.
No, don't go this Thursday at 7 in the middle school because they won't be there and there won't be any jazz.
No jazz.
Right.
So. In fact, my mom, the grandma, was so mad about this.
It's hard for the grandmas.
It's so hard that she was just desperate to find another option. She said to me yesterday, can't we rent Shuswap Theater or can't we find another venue and contact the parents and somehow make this happen? And, you know, honestly, in my gut, I thought, this will be madness
to try. It would be lovely to try.
It would be amazing, but on 2 days' notice, how could we pull something like that off? I mean, I can't imagine calling the schools and saying, can you give me the names and phone numbers of all the jazz musicians' mm-hmm. parents? Like, you know, it just probably would be one of those things where you get 10 kids showing up.
And
it would be awful.
And it just we can't underestimate how much planning and training and rehearsing goes into one of these things.
Yeah.
And so as many, many groups in town are trying to offer up alternative venues and alternative programming or alternate options, you know, it's just, you can't just step in and replace what's going on at the schools.
You can't replace months of planning in 2 days.
No, you can't. So there's a lot of other things that aren't happening. I know, say, for the grade fives at Bastion, it's a tradition that they all get to go to the water slides in Vernon. Not happening.
Not happening.
I hear there's a grade six class in Ranchero who has worked so hard raising money for a sleepover camp. Can't go.
Not happening.
I mean, these kids, I don't know, if you're listening and you have any influence on the outcome of this, these kids will never forget this.
No.
And it's just, it's so unnecessary.
It is. And what we're, when somebody asked me, what are the kids learning from this? Mm. I thought, you know what they're learning? Don't count on people.
Oh.
Like, don't prepare because it might be taken away from you by the powers of uncontrollable powers and you're powerless.
Absolutely.
That's what we're teaching them.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and we should be teaching them swimming. And the kindergarten kids, I think district-wide, this was their week for swimming lessons.
All canceled.
Yeah, not happening.
No.
And that they live for swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, that's the one day of the week it's easy to get them out of bed. Swimming today!
Yeah.
Right? So, not happening.
Right. And then my other daughter's in concert band. And
yes.
Their concert band for the parents is also canceled.
Oh.
But they are going to have one in the school for the school.
Oh, for the school. Well, that's nice.
Well, it is nice. So they get to actually play the pieces. But guess what? Parents are not allowed to go to that
We're not allowed.
We're not allowed. I was...
Well, who owns the schools?
Well, I kind of thought it was the community, but yeah, maybe not.
Apparently not.
So that's another sort of disappointment for our family, that all the musical things are basically just yanked from the parents enjoying it.
And I don't know about the rest of you, but my kids are cranky. They really feel the stress.
Yes.
They're short. They're tired. Mm-hmm. They're ready. They're done.
And
everybody's
ever had a problem getting my kids out of bed for school in the morning. I go in their room and I say, it's time to get up. And they're like, and they get up.
Yeah.
You know, these last few times, my one daughter especially, I don't want to go to school today.
No, it's palpable stress on these little people.
They can feel it.
I
think the teachers are doing, you know, their best to keep the kids from feeling that, right?
Yeah. Because
these guys are
stressed out. Can you imagine?
Well, exactly. You can't. I mean, you can try your hardest to put on the face, but the kids know. The kids always know.
They spend 6 hours a day with you. They know. They know how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And thank you to those teachers who are frank with them. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel that my sons come home with a pretty good sense of what the mood is and what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
But they're still stressed. Now, there's a couple of other things that won't be happening.
Well, I know that there's a really wonderful art club going on at the middle school as well. Michelle Atkins, who I'm not sure if she's got a position within the school or if she's subbing or whatever she's doing. She's an amazing young teacher with lots of art skills, and she's been running this noontime art club.
And she's very passionate about the arts, isn't she? Yeah,
absolutely. Lovely. She runs a summer kids art group too, with camps and stuff. Anyway, my other daughter is involved with that because Michelle's purpose is to give other arts opportunities when you don't get quite enough just within the regular curriculum for kids that really want to make art.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been wonderful with these kids, and my daughter loves her and has loved every single little project they've been working on together, and feels like, okay, I'm really working at the holistic sort of art approach, right?
Yes.
You know, getting lots of different kinds of input from her. And not happening.
Not happening.
Canceled.
So there'll be no art club today or tomorrow.
No art club at noon hour at all anymore. Okay. So
I'm drawing a sad face.
I know there's little sad emoticons all over the place.
Yes.
One of the things that's pretty major in our little world is the art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And we have planned for 2 years for this exhibition on storytelling.
That's right. 2 years, 24 months.
Yeah.
And 365 times 2 days. It's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yes.
And we timed the exhibition to maximize availability for school groups to come and visit the gallery.
Yeah, for their year-end trip.
Mm-hmm.
We curated the show so that it would appeal to all age levels, from kindergarten all the way up. We did.
That's what we did.
But, you know, that's funny thing about life. You can't, the only thing for sure is uncertainty. And I don't know that we put that in the plan. It was not part of the...
It was not part of the plan to deal with
It was not part of the strategic plan.
No.
No.
I guess because traditionally, we've seen that kind of attendance in May and June of every year that the gallery has been there. 20
yes.
years, we've been seeing May and June school tours skyrocket mm-hmm. because people are looking. Like, teachers can walk their classes down.
Yes.
Looking for interesting activities that they can combine with other downtown things. So
it
lots of
the
times.
It fits in the curriculum.
It does.
Yeah, I always wondered what the curriculum objectives of water slides was, but that's okay. I mean,
phys-ed.
I know it's fun for the kids. Phys ed, water, physics, I guess, water flows downhill. But the gallery has that added benefit that it does fit within there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we do a very fine job. I mean, this is not something we've always done. Tours used to be very simple and here you go, come in and see the show and leave. But both the last 6 or 7 years, we've been offering a fairly full-on experience where kids get a little talk. We talk about the building as a historical place in Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about what the gallery does for the community. And
who the gallery belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Right? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about the show, we get let them see the show, and then we pull them all back together to discuss the exhibition and to do an activity, an arts activity that's associated with the exhibition. So they get a full hour or a little bit more of this really sort of intensive art experience.
Yes.
And that's our tours. And we try to book them in the morning before the galleries open to the public
mm-hmm.
so that we can really take over and make a bit of a mess and
yeah,
not worry
them,
too much.
Yeah, it's a private tour.
It is.
Yeah.
They're getting the private service.
So while what won't be happening is any more school bookings, what will still be happening is parents and kids are more than welcome. The show is on till the end of June. The gallery's open Tuesday to Saturday, 11 to 4, and it's there. It was not, it's just not, a, it was a show that was designed for kids.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so.
We've got lots of great
things happening. If you know a kid
happening,
or were a kid once, you must come and see.
I don't know. I don't know how many people were kids before.
I'm not sure.
That might not be a large portion of the population. So the nice thing too about the storytelling is when you're there with a group of people, this is what I've noticed when a family comes in, if there's one or two people, they tend to kind of go through rather quickly. It's a kind of a 10-minute thing. But when two families come in together, they stay.
Oh.
Like, I think it's that weird sort of like, oh, I'm not sure if they're ready to go, so I'll just go and read this thing.
Yes.
Or I'll just play on the pillows and lay here with my Richard Scarry book rather than bug her to see if she's ready. But they're really getting absorbed
yes.
by it. And that's kind of the exciting part, because then they're discovering more. Because like the timelines that have all those interesting little points about all the classic books
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people see those right off the bat.
No.
It's only when they're kind of lingering that they say, oh, that's interesting. And
layers,
then they go to the next one and then the next one.
Yeah. Layers and layers.
There is.
As, yeah.
So. And that Atlas piece has just taken off.
Oh, yeah. So we found this in our hunt for old books. Someone offered us
a 1975
giant Atlas, like the size of a smart car, it's huge. and so we just put sticky notes. I mean, that was an experiment.
That totally was.
Yeah.
Well, the whole show is.
Yeah.
But the sticky notes are for people to write their stories about mm-hmm. places in the world. And holy cow, like mm-hmm. some pages you turn and it's almost completely covered with sticky notes.
Wow.
And the stories are amazing. Just people saying my mother and her family escaped the Nazis in this. oh my gosh, people are full of their family history and they want to share.
I totally want to share.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to check that out again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's an evolving thing. Every day it gets bigger and bigger.
I know.
Yeah. So while this is a rather sad part of our story as a community to have to not have these things happen, I think we need to work even harder at, come down, help out with the mosaic,
mm-hmm.
Make a point of coming to the gallery,
go
downtown and eat an ice cream, go to the wharf and do some cartwheels, whatever, listen to your iPod, make sure you make space for all these art events that are important to us. And hopefully we'll find a way to resolve this.
Yes. So another sort of point on that, you're right about the connection between your involvement with the community and the schools.
Mm-hmm.
When you're forced, I shouldn't say forced, I was struggling to find a word, when you're encouraged to participate in school-related events, you tend to filter out and go to other things.
Yes.
I know we do. If we have a something-something concert, it might be pizza night.
A pizza?
Yeah. And so that's the thing that I think that you're keenly interested in and have done some research on is the economic effect of this situation.
Absolutely. Huge ripple effect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so I'm just saying, like, getting involved with the arts public. See, this is the problem when you have an engineer who likes to communicate with you. Learning about, okay, yes.
Oh, good point.
Thank you.
Yes. And the things you learn in your community you can bring home and use.
Yes, that's exactly it. So things that you're involved with that are school related are great. You go to them and you end up being involved with other things because of that. Because you've gone to some new place, you maybe have met some new people, and it kind of changes the way you interact with your community. But what our engineer is trying to tell us is that when you go out and be part of something on your own as a family rather than just your kids going as a class, mm-hmm. you get a chance to absorb that into your life.
Yes.
And so that's what we're asking for the gallery exhibition and for the mosaic project, mm-hmm. that people really do make that effort to bring your family, maybe your neighbor's kids, mm-hmm. to come down and participate as a family.
Yes.
And get to know it that way.
That's right. And maybe invite a family or some neighbors to go to WOW next week, because WOW next week will go ahead.
Oh yeah. WOW will continue.
And so we'll just have double the crowd, make up for the fun we miss tonight.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Right?
Maybe some of those jazz students can just bring their instruments and jam before the concert.
If you're listening. No, they're in school.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Hmm. They won't be tomorrow. Maybe they'll listen tomorrow.
No, that's right. Maybe they'll listen tomorrow, Thursday, when we repeat.
Okay. So let's think about the positive now.
Yes.
What are some possible solutions to this?
Who's to say? I just think that we're missing that part of the conversation. Everybody's talking about who did what, you know, he said, she said, and I'm pretty sure, you know, it's some awful trying times for teachers, especially the new ones who have student loans and mortgages to pay and, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So why can't we start having the conversation about what we could do to fix it? A couple of things that come to mind. First of all, it can start at home. Parents can step in and do things. You can email your MLA. You can offer to help. You can take other kids for a day so that other parents can get to work, because that's the other, you know, that's a pretty big impact. Is mm-hmm. a lot of moms, parents will be scrambling for childcare. Yeah. So those are sort of the practical how you can help immediately ideas. But then there are also longer term conversations I think we need to have about, so what precisely is the problem and how can we find a creative solution to fix it?
Yes. Right?
And it's so the government now, I have been hard on our MLA because I've been trying to get in touch with him and he won't take my call and he won't answer my email. But he did email me back yesterday, and the tone of his email is very polite and courteous. But he made a point of saying, we want to help the grade 12 kids get through their exams. We don't want to interfere with their movement to the next level, to post-secondary. So that will be taken care of, he assures me, which is great, because, I mean, if I was graduating grade 12, I'd be worried mm-hmm. right now. But he also said the word long-term sustainability. So when I hear that, I think, okay, so it's it really is a money thing.
It is.
Right?
It's the bottom line thing.
Yeah. And the government, we spent, I think I read, is it 67 or 68% of our entire budget is on healthcare and education.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's the two services that we desire most as a society.
Yes. And I think that's
we want to be healthy and we want to be smart.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We want to learn. Mm-hmm. And those should be mm-hmm. the things using up the most of the budget, mm-hmm. not oil and gas subsidies.
Exactly. So we need to think, okay, well, and it's true, long term, we... You know, this province has, I think, $12 billion in debt. That's a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not the most populated province in the country, certainly. So there are some pretty scary numbers to look mm-hmm. at. How do we figure it out? One thing that comes to mind, and it's only a conversation, so I hope you'll indulge me, and if I'm wrong, you know, text me, you know, send me an email, whatever, and we'll talk. I want to talk about it. But it would seem to me that there are some teachers who are closer to the end of their career, who are higher up on the pay scale, who might be ready to leave a little early.
Well,
or take a...
If they are ready, I mean, they might be ready to leave, but they aren't time-wise set up to get their full pension.
No. And so rather than offer all teachers a signing bonus, as the government is proposing now, couldn't we take that money and come up with some package we could manage that would see the higher end, you know, burnt out? This teacher strike is burning out a lot of teachers. Mm-hmm. Maybe over the next 3 to 5 years, they go from a full-time to a 0.75 or a 0.5, start mentoring the new teachers who are anxious to get in because they have school debt and a whole house to pay for and so on and so forth.
Without jeopardizing their pension.
Without jeopardizing their pension.
Right.
And without also without the risk of walking away from 25 or 30 years of deep and rich experience.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have a school full of new teachers. You can't. It doesn't work.
That's right.
So is that not a possibility?
I think that's a very perfect solution,
right?
Because we're still respecting the experience of the teachers that have been in it for a long time and have seen. And I mean, you can't deny the benefit of learning how to teach.
Yes.
And there is a skill level that does develop over time.
Right. So the teachers can teach the teachers.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Because you can go to school to be a teacher.
Yes.
I'm just saying, like, there's a difference between going to school to be a teacher and doing your practicums and stuff, and then actually being in the industry for, you know, 5 to 10 years and, you know, starting to actually figure stuff out, like really get a comfort level. Right.
Yeah.
And so that is something that absolutely we still need. Mm-hmm. We can't just say, okay, no, bink, 20 years, you're out.
But we all have to have the conversation about how do we keep costs under control?
Yes.
All costs. Okay. So the government can do two things. It can increase revenues or decrease costs.
Right.
I think that it's probably a combination of both, which can get a bit messy because sometimes to increase revenues, you have to increase investments.
Yes.
Right? So,
well, okay, this goes on to one of my pet peeves.
Yes.
And that is the constant promising of tax breaks.
Yes.
I cannot believe how politicians are still thinking that promising tax breaks will make people happy and more comfortable with government.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, when we reduce taxes, we reduce services.
Yeah.
So at some point, doesn't the public figure out that tax breaks, even though it might equate to an extra $12 a month and I can get, you know, like a little takeout sushi tray at the end of the month because of my tax break, but that it equates to me losing services in healthcare and education?
Or I guess to go back to the sushi, you sure, it's cheaper sushi, but you only get, you know, 5 pieces instead of 4, or 4 pieces instead of 5.
Yeah.
So they're only giving us back our own money and implying that it's a better deal. You always say this, and I borrow it whenever I can. It's pay now or pay later.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, we were a little bit more positive, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit more positive.
Yeah, because we're providing solutions now.
We'd like to be part of the conversation that provides solutions.
Yeah. And we've all been down this road with sustainability. And in fact, at the Art Center, we've had 40 years of sustainability discussions. And so long-term...
Maybe we should change our name to the Salmon Arm Sustainable Art Center.
Well, it wouldn't be a bad idea, but I can tell you for sure that when we lost our gaming funding in 2009, right around that same time, we had applied to the Shusop Community Foundation for money to renovate the bathrooms. And we had already saved up a certain amount of money and had fundraised a little bit for the bathroom project. But when we lost our gaming funding, it meant the end of our Family Saturdays program and potentially WOW. We wrote to the foundation and said, okay, look, we can't.
Thank you for the money.
Yeah.
May I have some more?
Well, how responsible would we be to renovate the bathroom and cut programs that are actually growing and doing our community good?
That's crazy.
Can we please redirect those funds to the Family Saturdays program to keep it running
good
for the
you.
Year? Yeah. And I'm thinking, why can't the I'm going to say a swear word. Why can't the school district do that?
Yeah.
Why are we getting a new building here? I understand they say, oh, it's capital funds. It's been set aside. Da, da, da. Yeah. But you know what? A responsible organization would recognize a crisis and redirect those funds to solve the crisis.
I am a bit perplexed by the position of the school district. So they're the management team, right? And I don't know how to undo that knot. I mean, I personally am excited we're getting a new school district building because I think that we're building more infrastructure. It's p- putting people to work. My husband is working there right now as we speak, digging, you know, for the geothermal that they're putting in it. So I'm happy to see that money spent locally. But I do understand, you know, there is this crisis and we seem to break everything down into silos. Well, that's okay because this money is strictly for capital, but this money is strictly for students and this money is strictly for administrators. And I mean, where is the sort of overview, wholesome approach to how you spend your money?
Because we still renovated the bathrooms.
Yes.
But we just put it off for 2 years. That's
right.
All.
Exactly.
Because we recognized the need to not to not cut programs during that time. And by the time we got ourselves resorted out and got some other funding things in place, we were a bit more stable and could go ahead with those renovations. Yeah. It still happened.
Exactly.
It's just that you have to be flexible.
And you make a good point that, you know, maybe obviously it's a trying time and it's hard for people to drive by and watch that building being built when their kids aren't in school and they can't go to jazz concerts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I wouldn't trade that job for the world. I just worry that now, because, you know, we're basically flushing goodwill down the toilet every day, how long is it going to take to rebuild that goodwill? And until there's goodwill, there can't be good sustainable conversation.
Right.
Who wants to have a conversation? Like, do you really think any teachers want to be having conversations with any members of Christy Clark's Liberal government? I don't think so.
Well, no.
This is not...
And there's a powerless thing going on there too, right? Yeah. What individual feels like they have any abilities here?
I know.
There's kind of a big machine at work. And I think that's one of the problems is that every single individual teacher is feeling compressed by all of the politics.
And they must be overwhelmed. And I feel like we're picking on them. I don't think it's fair. I think it's a much bigger issue and it starts right at the top.
Well, it does, because what happened to our entire education system when about 13, 14 years ago, people were coming here from all over the world to look at our education system because it was one of the best in the world. And somehow, in the last 14 years, it has gone down and down and down.
Down and down.
To the point where it's considered a failure.
Yeah.
That's what the heck happened.
I don't know what the heck happened.
And that is a bigger conversation that has not much to do with actual teaching.
No.
It's got more to do with structure and policies.
How you spend your money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, think the government is... It's like a family, a household, right? It has expenses and it has revenues. Mm-hmm. So we elected a government who is very interested in raising more revenue.
Yes.
Right?
But they also promised to cut taxes.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not there.
How can you honestly say, oh, we're going to generate this much revenue and then promise to cut taxes at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why the general public can be so ignorant about where that money ends up coming from. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I keep bringing that up because it's my particular
point. But it's a good point. And I think that I think ABC is more important than LNG, right? We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would rather the government invest in a child than a pipeline. I really would.
Yeah.
And I think if the government is really interested in increasing revenue, what if I said there is, a known cash crop that does not require pipelines or digging or fracking? It's even organic. And you know what? It's a renewable energy.
Yeah.
Well, because it gives some people energy and maybe not others. But I think maybe it's time to have that conversation that we should be legalizing marijuana.
Yeah.
That it is the largest BC crop. Scary, right?
Well, it is. And
would take out all the bad guys and the gangsters.
Yeah.
Who are, you know...
Legalization reduces, of course, the criminal element of
it
all. And generates tax revenue.
So much tax revenue.
It's farming.
And we're good at it. And it's farming.
We're very good at it. BC is ideally located.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already known. And talk about global markets. This is the thing that oil and gas... One of the things that bothers me about oil and gas is they talk about how to take advantage of the global market. Oil and gas is dangerous to transport.
Mm-hmm.
And so why are we even talking about global markets with oil and gas? We should only be talking about continental markets. But even though...
And it's very risky.
Yes.
Right.
Whereas marijuana, not so risky.
Not so, and plus people would be more mellow, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and when you compare it to other substances and narcotics, cigarettes.
Way better than cigarettes or alcohol.
I mean, when you look at societal effects.
Yeah. I just don't buy this, it's a sustainability issue. I mean, if you're really looking at sustainability, then A, increase your revenue. B, look at all the costs on the books. I'm sure there are ways to increase revenues without subjecting us to all that risk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of risk involved. How long has it been? Pretty risk averse, but.
Yeah. How long has it been since Colorado legalized?
I think they did it January 1st of this year.
Of this year?
Yes.
Because they've already seen an increase in government revenue and a decrease in crime.
Yeah.
Like significant measurable effects.
I know.
In only a few months.
I know.
That's crazy.
I think we have to stop vilifying this cash crop that we are extremely good at.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is...
We could have a whole show on the agricultural land reserve.
Oh, we sure should.
And then we should talk about that because the Kootenays was quite affected by the changes in the legislation. Mm-hmm. Well, the Kootenays is prime growing area.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right? So there are opportunities out there. So that's a big increase in revenue one. I don't know why the LNG thing is far off. It's risky. It's an unknown where, you know, again, talk about planning for uncertainty. We're not certain that the world markets will want it.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the other
thing. And nobody knows that.
What's the...
No matter how persuasive they are in their argument.
Yeah.
You cannot plan for that.
No, that's right. And in fact, the entire world is slowly, and yes, I know it's painfully slow, slowly moving towards renewable energy. We are getting away from fossil fuels.
Yes.
Why we continue to imagine ourselves investing in fossil fuel development is so beyond me.
I know. And Obama is there.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Harper, not so much.
Well, and Harper said at the I don't know, some climate change summit, which it feels like they're all blending together now, but he did say Canada can't take action until the Americans do because anything we do would be, you know, unmeasurable next to them. Well, here's Obama actually taking action. And now Harper's saying, well, any government that takes action isn't realistically looking at jobs and growth in their country. Mm-hmm. So he's avoiding that little.
It's just a more holistic approach to growth and, you know, we know what we know. We don't know what we don't know. I know it's...
That sounded like George Bush.
Well, it's... Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And so you can increase revenues, but you can also decrease expenses. You know, if you think about... So there's 18, I think, school districts in the province. Mm-hmm. Is there room for efficiencies there?
Well,
could they be centralizing services that they all...
That's right.
And again, I'm not trying to irritate anybody who's like, this is my job. Don't take my job away. I'm just asking for the opportunity to have the conversation, right?
Because if we keep talking about growth and there is always an emphasis on growth when we talk about things like resource development, well, there isn't going to be growth in education.
No.
There's never going to be growth.
No, because we're not making more kids. We're making fewer kids, in fact.
Yeah. And so if anybody in the education system is worried about their jobs, they should be worried right now rather than worried about it if we have possible solutions that would require, you know, some conglomerations of services.
Or I don't know the answer to that. I'm just saying, does every school need a principal? Does every school need a vice principal? I mean, all I'm saying is those conversations are... not happening because of the impasse, right? So the conversations are so important. They're as important or more important than the concerts and the art exhibit and the mosaic. You know, we have to be having these conversations. And if you don't have goodwill, you can't have a sustainable relationship. Mm-hmm. And those relationships are also not happening.
That's right.
Right? And so that part is...
We
really,
enough.
Yeah, we really, really have to step up. Each of us and find a way to have that conversation. I have friends, we completely disagree on this. But I need to find a way to be polite, hear their concerns, share my own concerns, stand up for what I believe in, but also have respect for what they believe. And somewhere in the middle is the solution, right? I personally think, I mean, that the whole legalizing marijuana thing was the result of last night's fireside conversation. I have to say, I think it's pretty good. I think you would take care of a lot of things.
Well, but this is the thing. This thing about relationships, that when you build them, then there's opportunity for conversation, for meaningful conversation. Mm-hmm. If we're all isolating ourselves and choosing sides and getting caught up in the politics of positions.
Well, it's feast or famine, right? And you know when you're threatened, that's when... Yeah. You start hoarding. You hoard your money, you hoard your time, you hoard your advice, right?
Yeah.
And it's not healthy.
No.
And so I expect a lot better. And I don't have a teacher's union. I'm not a teacher. I don't have a union. As far as I'm concerned, my representative is Greg Kylo. That's
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's my rep, you know?
Well,
and so
supposed
I need
to be.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about being heard and having relationships and conversations is he as a representative and not him very specifically, but all the representatives of the provincial government, are they having conversations with their constituents? No,
and I think they're so because the way party politics is they're whipped, like literally it's called the whip.
Yeah.
He holds a position and he whips them into to conform with the party line.
Yeah.
So that's a bit disturbing too, because I think they're busy holding the line and so we don't get to talk much. And if we do, we sort of get the, you know, typical, here's, you may send these three paragraphs to constituents who write with concerns. Yeah. I'd love for him to hold a town hall meeting and, right?
And to have a conversation rather
absolutely.
Than just be told what the party line is.
That's right.
Oh, well, this has been a very exciting conversation, and I hope that some opportunities arise for parents and people in any related industry to talk to the people in the education system and talk to provincial government representatives about possible solutions to this so that we all will benefit.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Oh, so fun.
Sing it, Louise.
Okay, so this week's dramatic moment in the arts. We're going to Detroit. I don't know if any, I'm sure many of you know this, but the city of Detroit has gone
bankrupt.
Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But the city of Detroit has some incredible public art. Mm-hmm. I think it's called the Detroit Institute of the Arts or the Detroit Art Institute. I apologize. Check that out. They need $100 million to save their art collection from the chopping block.
What do you mean the chopping block?
Well, because the city's gone bankrupt, the creditors are looking to get their money out, people that are owed money, whether it's cops or firefighters or pensioned employees. And because the city owns the art and the art is worth tens of millions of dollars, they're talking about auctioning it off to be able to pay, right? Because when you go bankrupt, what they do is they take your assets,
right,
sell them, and then they give them, they put the creditors all in order and the biggest ones at the top,
right?
Which I don't think are employees, but
no,
you know,
not usually.
No,
so
usually larger
a collection
entities.
That would likely be 300 or 400 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Is now at risk of being split up and sold off to the highest bidder to pay the creditors in the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, interesting thought. Now
and
what?
The dramatic moment is who stepped up, who's stepping up to save it?
Who's stepping up?
The car companies, the big three. Isn't that wonderful? They've decided to put, and this is fair because Detroit was there for them in 2008. In fact, the whole... All of North America was there for them because as goes GM goes the economy, or so it was. And but they have stepped up with $22 million to help save the collection, and they're encouraging others to donate.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, it is amazing.
And the positive thing about that is there isn't always this huge divide between the corporation and the arts or the community and the company, you know,
right.
These, we can come together nicely. In fact, I think that's what we really all want to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So well, in a way,
it's very inspiring.
It is. The car companies, it's not like these are corporations that have popped up in the last 10, 20 years that, you know, suddenly are making money off of the stock market or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are long-term invested companies who have grown because of the hard work of people that started 100 years ago.
100 years ago.
And so I see that their investment in community is meaningful to them. That's really amazing.
Absolutely. And they're innovative and they're economic generators. In fact, Chrysler, the Ontario government was going to give Chrysler money to help keep the jobs in Ontario, because Southern Ontario is all about car parts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Chrysler withdrew the request because they think even they're saying, okay, wait a minute, it can't work this way anymore.
Mm.
You know, the corporations can't be holding governments hostage mm-hmm. by saying, well, if you don't give us this, we're going to walk. We're going to go here. We're going to go there.
Yeah.
But, and Detroit, you know, I think Detroit is an important symbol of how quickly things can decline.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a classic American city with a storied existence, right? The home of the auto industry. Yet they've declared bankruptcy. Police officers aren't getting paid. Firemen aren't getting paid. I don't know if you ever watched Anthony Bourdain's show, not No Reservations, but the new one on CNN. Oh, what's it called? It'll come to me. Bounds, No Bound. Anyway, so he did a show on Detroit about the food, because they're very innovative food. But he also talked about neighborhoods coming together, like, because there's no city workers or not as many city workers, neighborhoods will come together and have mowing parties so that the kids can play on the play structure, right?
Oh, right.
So wonderful things can happen when communities are mm-hmm. at risk. But there's also terrible things, like people are burning down their houses because they can't pay their mortgage, and they know that the fire department won't come because there's nobody there.
Oh.
And then they can claim the insurance so they don't have to go bankrupt, right? So there's, so a lot of, like, it's like the yin-yang of life. On the one hand, there's such incredible stories of resilience. And so the teachers out there, you know, they're going to have to be resilient for the next couple weeks, because I don't know about you, but if I didn't get paid for 2 weeks, it would not be fun.
No.
Right?
No, it would be quite difficult for most of us. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of middle class is left to be able to figure this out, but we're all fairly close to the line.
Yeah, and I feel hopeful for that Detroit's going to make it, and I feel hopeful that we're going to make it, but we're not going to make it if we just sit at home being afraid or worried, right?
Yeah.
God, I wish I could remember the name of that show. It's such a good show.
So, but you mentioned the whole, like, how fast things can spiral.
It can
down
spiral out. Out of, yeah.
And so therein, though, like, that's something we have to think about here in BC.
Yeah, it's complacency.
Yeah.
You know, and conformity. I mean, you need to fight against this.
We do.
And that's,
and we
what
need
the
to
arts
do it early
do.
On.
Yes.
Before it gets to a point of, you know, near bankruptcy.
I know. I think we should have been having this conversation a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we should never really get to strike action.
No.
I mean, that is always, that's supposed to be the last ditch effort, right?
Exactly.
And that means all other efforts have failed. And
pretty resolute in their conviction that this was the only option. Mm-hmm. I mean, the vote came in 86% in favor.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of things, again, the show is about what's not happening. I'm sure there'll be a lot of mortgage payments that won't be happening and loan payments that won't be happening.
Yeah.
And right.
Yeah.
So it can spiral quickly, but we have to be resilient and we have to show support wherever that support needs to go.
And we have to be creative in our solutions.
Absolutely.
We can't do things the way we've always done them.
No,
we have to think outside, and we have to incorporate other people in our conversation, mm-hmm. people that are creative thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
There are solutions out there.
Absolutely. And we have to have conversations with people who might not share our point of view. I don't know. It's a call to action, really, you know.
Yeah.
We can't think about this as something that's happened to us. We have to think about it as something that is happening,
mm-hmm.
and we have to find a way to keep it from, right? To make sure that it's a positive thing, not a negative thing.
Yeah. Well, there's always opportunity in every disaster, mm-hmm. in every crisis. There's opportunity for mm-hmm. growth and change. And it's been proven in smaller organizations, such as the Art Center. There was lots of crises in the past, especially in funding or in staffing or whatever. You always find ways to rethink things in order to fit your needs better, and maybe invent something totally new.
Yeah, really get down to the core. What is it that we want? We want innovative, creative thinking children. We want mm-hmm. happy, motivated teachers, right?
Yeah.
And a government who understands that it's not just about the money.
Mm-hmm. We have to stop this bottom line thinking.
Oh, I know.
It's destroying us as a society.
Yeah, the race to the bottom. Yeah. I don't want a race to the bottom. Mm-hmm. I want a race to the top. Mm-hmm. And the arts helps you do that. There's, you know.
Yeah, you're right about that. And that's the thing about having the arts events and all of the sort of art structures being canceled or cut or whatever. It seems like they're cutting the legs out from under them in terms mm-hmm. of ways to build community and mm-hmm. ways to build conversation and relationships and creative thinkers. All of those are part of that process, and they can't do it by focusing on reading, writing, and arithmetic.
No.
They have to incorporate all of those important parts of our brain mm-hmm. in order to raise those kinds of kids. And then those kinds of kids become the kids that become our government representatives and leaders.
In the future.
They have to be able to think around these problems too.
Goodness. And they have such a big job to do because there's fewer of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there are things we're really good at in Canada. We're very good at the not-for-profit sector. Hospitals, education, very good at that mm-hmm. In terms of leading the world. NGOs, this is a big part of our economy. We're very good at the service sector, engineering, banking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need these kids to know those things,
yeah,
right? And I just feel like this tug of war, I don't know, we've talked about this before. Sometimes the best way to end a tug of war is to
let go of the rope.
Just let go of the rope.
Oh, that was the most brilliant thing
right?
that you taught me about a month ago, a couple of years ago now. I'm sorry, it's probably happened several times when I've been struggling with something and it's an issue that I'm just,
I really need to fix. Yeah.
And Louise, you're so wonderful. You say, Tracy, let go of the rope.
Just let go.
Right? So that is brilliant advice. And that is the trigger that often helps you rethink a problem
mm-hmm.
and opens it up to more solutions. Because when you let go of the rope, then the energy that you are pulling on is freed up
yes.
to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I hope that whatever you do, you don't do nothing.
Like we did this week,
yeah.
which was what's not happening.
What's not happening. Don't not do things.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever it is that makes you happy, do it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of peace and creativity and excitement to be found in problem solving as mm-hmm. opposed to fighting.
Oh, it's so exciting.
It is.
I actually really love those times when a group of people get together and think, okay, we got this issue. How are we going to deal with it?
Yeah.
So I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it's fruitless, but a lot of times it's invigorating
yeah.
because of all these new ideas
yeah.
that come out.
And it keeps us human and
it does
creative and excited. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so what our big brains are for.
That's right. So maybe we'll go down to the wharf and do some cartwheels.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
And go down to the mosaic project and plunk down a few colored tiles.
Yes, a couple colored tiles. Come to the gallery and let us read a story to you.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
Pick up your guitar and strum a little bit. You know, because there's musicians and designers and artists and all of us. And the world needs us, especially on days like today.
It does. To find out information on arts events that are happening, you can go to our website, www.salmonarmartcenter.ca. If you click on participate, that is the listing of events by day that we put on there. And it's just text. You don't have to worry too much about photos and big things to download. We try to make sure that everything's on there that we get information on. But if you ever find an arts event that is not listed on our page, feel free to email the Arts Center at sdarts@talus.net, because we want that page to be a resource for everybody that wants to do something in the arts and cultural sector. So find us there. The other thing you can do is like us on Facebook.
Yes.
This whole like thing is really starting to bother me. You know how when they post things that are really disturbing, like there's, you know, just crises of anything,
yeah.
right?
Well,
and
I mean,
you want
just
to acknowledge
the case in Moncton, they post pictures and it's hard to like.
I know, it's hard
I
to
mean, it's
like the memorial service.
Stunning, meaningful, important, but like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be more like a little acknowledge button.
Yes.
Like, I acknowledge this is important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Important.
Okay, so acknowledge us on Facebook
mm-hmm.
by searching us at Salmon Arm Art Center. We will post updates on things like when we're working on the mosaic.
Yes.
And, you know, when upcoming events, the author readings at the gallery are mm-hmm. posted on there at the beginning of every week. Mind you, it's just fun to come at noon every day anyway.
Anyway.
You never know who you're going to get.
Yeah.
And at some point in the next week is Louis Thomas and Dave Harper are collectively presenting a History of Salmon Arm.
Oh, man, that's going to be unbelievable.
So Louis Thomas is going to take care of pre-contact and Dave Harper post-contact. It'll be a complete and comprehensive history of
Salmon
Arm.
Those guys are fonts of knowledge for sure.
Oh, it's so exciting. Fonts of knowledge. I love that term.
Fonts. Ha ha. A little pun there.
Maybe we need to, I don't know, that's got to be part
pun
of the storytelling.
Of the week. Yeah.
Next time.
Next time, join us for pun of the week.
Yeah. And what else? Oh, yeah, and Twitter. And the Twitter feed story has kind of come to a bit of a crawl. So what we really need to do
is... It's not happening either.
It's not happening. Yeah. Everybody's too concerned about their kids in the school. Yeah. So get on Twitter and search at StorySaga. See where the story's going and have your say.
That's right.
This is a story that is going to be published.
It is.
It's the story of us.
That's right.
It's kind of taking on a bit of a mystery quality
right now.
We'll
have to have some sort of Twitter event.
Yes.
Anyway. Thank you for all that you have made happen. And hopefully this time next week, we can have a happier conversation. So thanks so much. And we'll see you next time on Artscape.